What's going on, everybody? Hollaback here. What's cracking? Listen, I wanted to talk a little bit before this episode to put the guest in context. My guest today, episode 180 of Highway Diary, is James Robert Wright, who was born into a Freemason family. He was raised in it. He, all through high school, all through his whole school, was Freemasonry and country clubs was basically this guy's religion growing up. Now, he does get very cagey. I'm like, did you see an entity? What happens in the Masonic halls during the rituals? Or, you know, what's going on? And he gets very cagey when I ask him direct questions. And it was a little frustrating because we would take breaks, and whenever I would turn off the recorder, he was very keen to just pour with information. So, you know, there's a lot of things that we said off the recording device, which I know is annoying for podcast listeners, but that's just what happened. So it's like I would record with him, we would take a break, and then he would explode with information. But he's really a great guy. And, you know, me not being a Freemason, I'm just a curious person that wants to figure out what's going on behind those Grand Lodge doors. So he tells us what he's allowed to tell us, and there's a lot of things that come up about Princess Diana. He may be the biological son of Princess Diana, but not through conventional birth, through the thieving of eggs and test tube babies. So who knows what the hell's going on in the endless halls of the CIA, the Freemasons. What's going on, what the agenda is behind everything, who knows. I peel back the curtain today with a good friend, a personal friend of mine. He's a great guy, James Robert Wright.
Oh, cool.
Welcome to Highway Diary. I'm your host, Eric Hollerbach. With me, James Robert Wright. For the second time, this time in the flesh, the first time you were on my podcast was, I think, Skype, right?
Yes.
Like 2 years ago. A fascinating person. You told me a lot of very interesting things. Here's what I want to do. I want to start kind of in the present and then work ourselves back. So you were kicked out of Masonry. You were as very high level in Masonry. You were kicked out from excessive disclosures. Is that correct?
No. I was actually doing quite well, quite dedicated, took my work quite seriously at the Scottish Rite in Dallas, downtown. But it didn't really matter because there was a growing discontent among members of why was a gay man not only in this position, but seemingly quite popular, and it wasn't boding well with the elder member group. And so it started like with water cooler chat, and it escalated further and further from that, and then it became abusive and unbearable, and it culminated in I kind of had a nervous breakdown, and my family owned a lake house out on Lake Louisville north of Dallas, so I went out there to kind of like have a week off and get away from it, and they were just haranguing me and blowing up my phone and coming out there, and it was it was weird. Come back to work, and very abusive, and I just couldn't deal with it anymore. And then they told me they gave me like a 48-hour notice that you either get your ass back downtown or you're fired. So I chose to not return. And then I chose, after many sessions with a therapist, to do the whole philosophy of tell as many people as possible all at once, so that there was no way that they, because they were just, I mean, they started screwing with me from the start.
Mm. This kind of reminds me of the comedy scene in New Orleans. But anyway, what was your position exactly? So you were working in Freemasonry. You're
a special assistant to the Secretary General. Mm-hmm. In Dallas, on Supreme Council of the Scottish Rite Southern Jurisdiction, Washington, D.C. payroll.
So what is that exactly? What are your duties day-to-day?
Day-to-day, I was responsible for the maintenance and upkeep of the office procedures and administrative tasks of the building. That included tours to special visitors, because believe it or not, it's actually a tourist attraction for Masons worldwide.
The Dallas what?
Yeah, big museum. Hollywood Studios use some of the rooms there because they're very Victorian to film scenes for shows in. There's a lot of action there. It's the most populated valley of Freemasons in the world. They've got thousands and thousands. It's bigger than the Supreme Council in D.C. itself. It's kind of the backup. And they definitely take it extremely seriously.
And is the Bush family kind of very active there?
No.
No. Who's like the big wig? Who's like the big politician that...
Well, Rick Perry is a seedy bastard. I hate the Perry family just because they're very rich and they're very bored. They like to meddle with other aristo families there, and they meddle with mine, and I don't care for them. I've never met Rick, but I've met his cousin, and they're all douchebags.
So you exiled yourself, and then you kind of fell onto real rough times because that was your whole support network.
Punishment.
Your generational, your bloodline is very interesting, and we'll get into that in a moment.
Shit, yeah. I grew up in Preston Hollow in Dallas. It's the most exclusive enclave there. And the money was no object.
Yeah.
What do you want?
Yeah.
Name it. and the Masons fed right into that, and they were intertwined with my family. My grandfather's painting hung over the library in the Dallas Scottish Rite building, so...
And what did your family do? Like, what was their outward persona, like, to the public who weren't uninitiated into Masonry?
They were the media moguls of Dallas. My grandfather brought CBS Los... He's from L.A. Brought CBS Los Angeles piping to the Dallas market and became a gazillionaire.
Like, with the CBS affiliate in Dallas. So they ran that.
Yeah, so newspaper, radio, and television.
Okay. So
when it was a small town.
You're deep in the thing, you come out as gay.
Well, there wasn't a problem because no one would question anything my family did.
But you started getting ostracized because...
Yeah, it was the first time in my life I'd ever dealt with it, and it was like, what the hell?
You were just getting bullied?
Yeah.
Was it like homophobia? Was it, you know? Yes, was it? Were they jealous that your family was so well connected? Like, what do you think?
I think there was jealousy at play, but I think it had more to do with like, I want that job. How dare he? What? Why'd they pick him? What the hell?
Oh, it's just Family Guy of that sweet masonry job.
Yeah, I guess you could classify it as nepotism jealousy. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Like that little bitch. I'm going to get that bitch.
Right. I want that jab. He has the cutest robes. All right. So then you go away and you go to like the Midwest. Where were you exactly? Minnesota?
I have a secret little sanctuary, I think everyone knows at this point, somewhere in nowhere Minnesota that I go to from time to time to... hide out at.
That's your escape route.
It's my reflection pond.
So while you were out there, you had this very bizarre conversation with a Rockefeller that fascinated me. I know this topic, you hate this topic. This topic is fascinating to me because I can play really great audio of a crazy person who's a Rockefeller screaming that he's going to kill everybody who ever bullied you.
Since my grandpa, David Rockefeller, died, the baton of power has been transitioned to me. So I am now the patriarch of my whole entire Rockefeller family, and I am executor of the whole entire Rockefeller family trust. And, you know, my whole family, especially Regina Rockefeller and the Rothschild family, they all support me and are waiting for my apology. So you better do the right thing, otherwise you're fucked.
He had a lot of passion, you know, for how many people he was going to kill.
And my car was stolen last year. I know it was an inside job. The LAPD would do nothing about it. And so one of my friends said, why don't you start a GoFundMe? So I did. And the attacks were so awful. I ended up pulling it because it was every other 5 minutes. It was like, you don't need a car, you faggot. Just go die of AIDS. I mean, that kind
Who would say this? Who said this to you? Who said this to you?
He gave it some gusto.
Let's play some of those clips.
And this is coming from His Imperial Majesty's Sovereign Grand Inspector General, Emperor Mehul Rockefeller. And I would like to add one thing. If such is not granted, then I will take the following action. Now, as you know, the King of Norway, I own Bilderberg, and I have... Okay, basically the next meeting at Bilderberg, know that several of the members are my puppets. And I'm going to have it so we vote for a total embargo on Norway. The effect, Mr. King of Norway, will be that you will no longer able to sell any of your fucking oil. If only one of the members voting against, we are the instruments of the club. Like this, on my knees, King of Norway, you're going to be forced to ask for forgiveness. And then I'll be able to slap you on the fucking face for debasing me even more. So... my solution is, I think, the best revenge is because you understand who I am. Okay, King? I'll leave it at that.
And then there's Steve.
Oh, yeah. Who's this Steve guy? Woods. Steve Woods. Listen up, buddy. You better back the fuck off. You are bullshitting lying to me. You back the fuck off of Princess Corina Windsor. You can do whatever the fuck you want with that fucker that introduced me to you. Just don't fuck with me and my friends. That guy who introduced me to you, who I won't know name, he's not my friend. I don't give a shit about him. So you can put him in a body bag. But you fuck around with me and my friends and family, you're fucked. All right? So lay off.
We're keeping it fun. This is fun, you know? So that's what when I was like, this was after you were on my podcast. So I was like, oh, my God.
Now, this is recent because I was in Minnesota right. when it happened.
That's right.
Because I was there having work done. I'm now a Hollywood Science Project with the fake, you know, teeth I had.
Oh, you had dentist problems.
Yes. The California waiting list I would have literally died on. By the time I got there, I had abscesses and infections so bad that I was having trouble with short-term memory.
Have you looked into the Dr. Pepper? You drank Dr. Pepper. Is that the problem with your twofers? Look
Why
at this.
Why must I effing hear this every day in L.A. from someone somewhere?
You and your Dr. Pepper.
It's a Dallas thing. Okay?
All right.
I can't.
I drink Miller Lights, let me tell you, and my head's going to explode one day. So we all have our vices. I've got so fucking fat when I was living in New Orleans, just doing stand-up shows and drinking, like, way too much Miller Lite. And also, I saw this fucking Alex Jones thing where he had this lady on.
No.
Okay, but he had this lady on who was talking about the additives to beer. She's like, and she's like, yo, Miller Lite is like menthol cigarettes. Look at all these fucking chemicals in it. You got food dye that comes from a beetle's asshole. You got this, you got this, you got these, all these chemicals. It's the worst thing for you. And they're like, it's addictive like cigarettes. And I'm like, yeah, I know that. And they're delicious. And I'm going to keep drinking them. You know what I mean? I'm a fucking idiot too. But I'm just saying, if you got real problems with your chompers...
Well, in my genetic precise type, we have problems with it's a weakness.
What do you mean?
Well,
your bloodline.
The consequence of this bloodline is you have severe acid reflux type of a situation going on, so it starts from the back and it works its way forward, teeth problems.
Do the Illuminati, like, eat babies to correct this issue? Reptiles?
I mean, we all know that there are admitted cases, for God's sake, of that kind of thing that has gone on, obviously. Is it a regular... I've never witnessed baby eating. Now, I've witnessed some other rogue test things, but...
Please tell! What?
What? Is this multiple choice? Ding, 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 ding. Which gross, disgusting... route shall we
all
take?
Of it
all
was of there it. Pooping like are people getting shit on their face in a ritual hall like what
no,
is that
no,
what
no, no, no.
What goes on
well okay I mean you have to understand that what's going on is a magical ritual to begin with the circumambulation of the lodge room and things like that and all these other secret societies because they're all you know the umbrella of
that's fascinating now I Did you say that they go?
Hope everybody knows that we're sitting on a J. So.
Oh yeah, we're.
You can edit these pauses if you like or not. It doesn't really matter.
I'm going to hit you. This is where I wanted to get to. And I remember this conversation from last time because you told me that that it's embarrassing. They'll like go around the lodge with equipment, like ghost hunting equipment, you know, like light bulbs attached to their heads.
Oh, yeah,
and like EMF detectors, like looking for ghosts around the halls while they're doing this thing.
They came what they found for those people, that's for sure. But then the Supreme Council ordered it, you know, gag order.
You're not allowed to do ghost hunting equipment.
We went in there on a Saturday night because one of those crews that has to remain nameless for NDAs that were signed at the time.
You're going to get cagey with me because of those NDAs, aren't you?
Well, they suck. Okay, what can I say? Plus, innocent people would get shit over name-dropping in this. That's no point in. That'd be bad karma on me. So, anyway, the ghost crew came in, and they certainly got what they came to get. They got all kinds of readings on all of their instruments and all kinds of phenomenon occurred, including lights going on and off at the behest of people asking and other strange activity and motion detectors on the security system continuously going on. Because we can never set them anyway. And we'd leave that building every night, close it up, come back, open it the next morning, and everything would be moved around in the office, file drawers open, drapes pulled weird. I mean, it was just a very bizarre building. Do I personally think it's a ghost? No, because I was a rather advanced adept, and I think it's the product of 100-plus years in that specific building at 500 Harwood Street in downtown Dallas. Rituals and
energies. So you're saying that, like, okay, you might go looking in your backyard for ghosts one time. Yeah, maybe you'll see, like, a deer fart. Like, come on. But when people have been trying to make ghosts happen in the same location for hundreds of years, yo.
Isn't ghosts...
There might be some entities.
I just think ghosts...
Ascended masters?
Primitive... Yeah, that's a better terminology. That's warmer. Secret chiefs. Great work. Golden Dawn, where all the magicians go to retire.
And then they show up, these ghosts, and they're like, yo, if you want to... like, no, some extra shit. Look at this. And then they, like, shoot a rainbow at your face, like, filled with knowledge. And then you're like, what? What happens?
Are you fucking with me? No.
That's not what happens. No, I'm stupid. No, you know, no. I'm trying to... No, no. I want to know exactly... the more specifics you tell me, that's very interesting. I did improv comedy for a long time.
Oh, okay, yes.
You know what I'm saying? I'm a writer. I'm a stand-up comic.
Okay.
This is my podcast.
Yes, no. We can do that.
I think people want to know, you know, that's why people join Scientology. That's why people join. They're like, there's...
You have to have a sense. That's why I'm such good friends with Vinny Eastwood. He was the second interview I ever did after I got the damn ill-fated, sicko, Hollywood pedophile-run, little did I know, book publisher New Falcon deal, that book, that I don't even want to name now because the dick sicko is still trying to sell it, and that's a whole legal issue with Amazon. But anyway, that's a whole side story.
Your book you're talking about.
The first, yeah.
Let's talk about
it. Well, because this can get real far down the rabbit hole, because this involves the OTO, Ordo Templi Orientis. The little Aleister Crowley worshipping coven.
Was it started by Jack Parsons?
He was a member.
Did he start it, though, and then give it to Crowley?
No, Crowley started it with Abbey of Thelema.
Okay.
So, but then it evolved into the OTO. But don't let them intimidate you. I mean, their numbers globally are like 5,000, so it's actually really on the radar. It's a blip, but it's still there.
If there's only 5,000 musicians, magicians... Maybe they're the best 5,000 magicians. Or maybe the creepiest weirdos you've ever met. Maybe they have long fingernails that smell like kid blood and feces.
I've been to their little brouhahas in multiple cities, and their deputy grandmaster, Lon-Miles Duquette, I can show you a book where he was inspiring me to join. He used to ask me multiple times to join and wanted to initiate me in his house in Costa Mesa here, and I never saw a point because my interpretation of the OTO was it was a Aleister Crowley kind of fan club thing, and it was very stupid and waste of my time was kind of my take on it.
Why is that? When they tried to do magic, it was embarrassing. They couldn't find the rabbit that got out of the cage that they were could have put in the middle of the pentagram.
Well, I guess that's the thing, but it could offend a wider audience.
One of them farted, and you're like, man, I don't want to hang out with these smelly weirdos.
Well, yeah, it's just, it reminded me of, like, being in high school and the little witch coven off in the corner. It was that kind of a thing. It was just so silly to me. Because, you know, I'm over on the Freemason side, which they take themselves deadly seriously, so we were like, pfft. But that was the thing, was it was a catch-22, because there were Masons who were also members of the OTO, so that's why I was over there to begin with, because I had friends in the fraternity who were like, come over here to the Gnostic Mass and see what goes.
I'm in a robe! Come over here! Look at this kitten, I have a cane! Don't I have the fancy dress?
Well, like I said, I found it very, silly. I think, Aleister Crowley could best be described maybe as a gifted playwright, and he did write plays, with a little known fact about him. Fun fact, everybody, go check your Google Crowley, see what comes up.
I really want to be weirded out and bored.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen Zomboid by Richard Foreman. Do you know who Richard Foreman is?
No, but I know the what the other, and it just, it never ends, and so where do you want to go with this? Which rabbit hole are we down now?
I'm not sure. I'm a little stoned, but I think we're just having a conversation. We're making fun of different
different ethnicities.
But I don't want to make fun of things without knowing about it. That's what I keep asking you. If you wanted to, like,
No, you should make absolute fun of all of it, because they hate that. So, all of it. All of it.
Okay. Look at, like, mixed martial arts. You know, you got UFC, right? Then you got boxers. This is Daniele Bolelli. I'm stealing this from him. Boxers. Like, what if religion, what if philosophy was like that? Daniele Bolelli, by the way, wrote a great book, and I did a report on it in grad school, and it's called Make Your Own Religion. And he just says, like, take everything from, like, if you only know boxing, you're going to get your ass kicked in the ring of life. Why don't you know a little OTO? Why don't you know a little Freemasonry? What, Scottish Rite, York Rite? Whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm juggling disciplines. Kabbalah? Hello. Learn all that weird stuff. Maybe you can float rocks outside, you know? Maybe you can water divine. I want to know, if you were to convince someone or just say, hey, this is why I like Freemasonry, because you do actually see real things go down. Can you give us some specifics of entities that were evoked, or possessions that took place, or levitations? Like, is this shit real? What's going on in there?
Okay. You can call me crazy over this one if you like, but I'll swear to it with my hand on stacks of Bibles sitting on a mountain of rosaries. One thing that did truly creep me out about that place was certain individuals up on the hierarchy, one of which was my direct boss, they have this thing where if you look and investigate pictures of them posing for this stupid pancake breakfast or this ribbon cutting ceremony, and you zoom in a little bit on their eyes, and the ones who are squinting, why are these old country clubbish white guys squinting? Because their eyes are solid black, and they very seldom will only see it if, like, they get really pissed. And that was when I finally witnessed it, was some scenario would have unfolded in the building, like one lodge would get mad at another over, we wanted this room, this night, or whatever, and then he'd get flustered because they'd be going at it, and he'd have to referee it, and you'd see that he'd open his eyes up a little bit more, and you'd see it. It was all solid black, and you'd see that, like, dark side there, so to speak, and that... And my initial reaction was don't react. Just take it. Look, you know, poker face.
Okay, he had a lizard face. His lizard tongue came out and he went, blah, 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 blah.
My poker face. yeah. I have to laugh about it. It's so awful and stupid and everything. It's like, why?
No, but during a ritual, though, did you see someone levitate or like magic powers? Look, before I do you know who Greg Carlwood is, by the way?
Greg
Carlwood. He has a podcast. Familiar. He has a podcast, yeah, a conspiracy podcast. Higher Side Chats.
Yes.
He had this podcast where, okay, L. Ron Hubbard and Jack Parsons hung out a lot.
Yes, they did.
And Jack Parsons, JPL, Jack Parsons Laboratory, right? Mm-hmm. He started using pentagrams in rocket designs, and then they actually start working. So he was mixing occultism. And then it's just so crazy that
openly did, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's there's a rich, rich occult history in Southern California. Yeah.
So, I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm losing my mind. I'm really stoned right now.
I mean, you got to understand that your J. Paul Getty and your William Randolph Hearst, they were all super high-level, ultra-mega Masons. And
but I want to know what that word means, Masons. What that word means, magician. So, there was a Higher Side Chat episode where he talked to this guy who was actually giving you, like, real solid advice about how to summon entities. He said, draw a pentagram, put sage, create an environment where an entity would like to present itself.
And real magic consists in calling these entities, constraining them, binding them, and getting them to do what you ask them to do. And they can't do everything. It's not magic like in children's storybooks. There are very specific things they can do. In fact, specific spirits have specific specialities. And if you ask them to do something that's not, as it were, on their list, then they just plain can't do it. But if you call the correct entity and you call him at the right time of day and you do the procedure in the correct way and you ask him to do something or you tell him or you order him to do something, then 9 times out of 10, that thing will happen. I'm still figuring out what the 10th time is because it doesn't always work. So, you know, because I was brought up in a fairly Western scientific way, I am only interested in things that work, and I'm only interested in things that are repeatable.
So I wanted to grab my friend Byron, and I said, let's go do this shit. I'm about to move to Los Angeles. I want to sell screenplays. You know, maybe I want entities on my side. You know what I mean? Let's go. And he's like, oh, I don't do that kind of magic. I'm a chaos magician. I was like, what do you mean? And he's like, no, I do chaos magic, so I don't do, like, the ritual stuff. I do the self-actualization, and, like, he had his discipline. But I wonder if you had different disciplines, if you could do, you know, the more you studied, the more real stuff happens. And what does real stuff mean? What happens?
I believe in this instance what you're asking me is what I was most exposed to there in that environment. That would have to be the Solomonic and the, like, the 72 demons of Goetia. Like, why does the damn ballroom have 72 chandeliers? Why do they obsess over that number? 33 is relevant, but it's a bit of a distraction as well, because that 72 is more spot on.
What are you saying here, the 72? If you have 72 chandeliers...
Well, because they love to do the symbology stuff in the building, so you'll have, like, stairs in sets of 3, 5, and 7, and then the total, they'll add up to 32 or 33 or whatever. It's just, they love to do that, so.
Thank you.
Fun facts, I guess. I don't know. It's all over. It's all in plain sight, I guess is the point, right?
The symbology is everything.
Yeah. We were filming a big act with the women's band, The Bomb, at Hollywood and Highland, and, you know, it's hilarious every time we're at that intersection because right above it at the Jimmy Kimmel Live building is the big Freemasonry, has a blast, and everybody. But I don't think a lot of people look up at it anymore because they're all looking down at their cell phones.
So. Are cell phones ruining magic when people show up to Masonic Lodge and then their iPhone goes off? It's like, Bill, you know, we were about to get the 72 ghosts in this room, you know? You interrupted our ritual.
No, I think they tend to behave pretty well because there's a difference. If it's just like a... If it's a stated meeting, you're taking care of stupid, boring minutes and business of the lodge and all that. So it's, I guess, acceptable to like, oh, I gotta check my email on my smartphone, it's business, sorry, you know, whatever, and they're like, yeah, cool. But if it's a ritual, that's a no-no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why is Tom Cruise Sid Young? Like, when I look at Scientology and I'm like, oh, he's got the real shit. They're giving someone the real shit, like, all the knowledge from that place. Why is Tom Cruise not aging? Is he a clone? What's going on with cloning?
That's a discussion for the genealogy stuff, and I'm sure he, he's bloodline heavily. We have to have the proper screen up right now to pull up his genealogy, but it's out there on genie.com.
And I want to talk about cloning. We were talking in the car about that, and I got this book out that I'm completely obsessed with called The Dulce Wars. This is about so there's this conspiracy that
dirty, filthy shit went down in New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And like the Phil Schneider that you brought up,
and the Phoenix class submarines now, all this has come from alien technology. 1947 is what the public has been told. Something crashed in the backyard in New Mexico, a place called Roswell, New Mexico. Unfortunately, that's what the public's been told. The military's known about the alien question for the better part of 70 years, and they first saw their glimpse of what was going on as early as 1909 in the American Southwest. Now, Army cavalry evidently were chasing some bandits, and they entered this cave. They were holed up in a cave, and what they found in there was flying discs and little gray guys and all kinds of weird things, and they didn't know how to explain that, and they wrote them down as best they could, and it's been in secret archives ever since. That's up in down by the Truth of Consequences area of New Mexico. Well, the alien thing is more than just what I'd call a non-visible threat. We on the surface, first of all information dealing with alien or alien reproduced technology or alien reproduced vehicles or any other kinds of things, well hidden from the American public. Our black budget, for instance, garners $1.023 trillion every 2 years. It's over $500 billion a year. Right now, there are 131 active deep underground military bases in the United States. There's 1,477 of them worldwide. Each one has an average cost of $17 to $19 billion. Each one is built in the site. It'd take a year to 2 years to build each one, and now they're capable of building a couple of them a year with sophisticated methods.
So I guess there's different what levels to the substructure, and darker stuff goes on, and most likely yes.
In Nightmare Hall. That's where all the hybrids are.
They should do a movie about, like, a B-movie.
Okay, a B-movie. I wrote an incredible movie about this.
Oh, you did?
Oh, for real.
Well, trust let's me. A-list do it.
Let's do it. That's also, you're connected. Listen, I got some screenplays. You got connections. I'm a sleazy fucking L.A. person. Will, can I get into the Illuminati to sell screenplays?
The Illuminati is busy running around doing all sorts of interesting. There's a little thing coming down the pike, but I think it's going to cause a 10-pointer on the San Andreas from L.A. to San Francisco with Grand Lodge of California. They're about to have some very stark realizations.
What do you mean?
Were you aware of the little shenanigan incident that went down last summer? What happened, I guess in a nutshell quickly here, was the, can't write this, Grand Lodge of Romania very graciously and, I must say, graciously, intervened. And they awarded me back all of my full degrees.
And it was revoked because you left. Because you...
Well, I played a funky Masonic legal game with them because I pulled the whole, well, I'm in absentia, you can't get me. Because they were desperate to get me to Texas to hold my Masonic trial. Ooh, you know, spank me. Because that's what it amounts to.
This is a Mason trial. You left, and I said there's paperwork. This place is filthy. I need a stock boy. I like calling him a faggot every day. Where's my punching bag? So I've demoted him. Listen here. I demoted him. My eyes are dilated. I'm very upset. And then there's going to be... And then...
Because it's true.
So you avoided that by going to another lodge and accepting your Masonic right to actually, enter their buildings. Actually, because you knew the handshakes. You were already in with the thing. You had the right outfit.
Yes. Well, it sent a shockwave because Romania... Well, okay, but Romania is a Grand Lodge, so therefore it can only award up Master Mason the third degree...
The Blue Lodge.
Back.
So there's so, 3 degrees so in Freemasonry. My listener doesn't know this. There's 3 degrees in Freemasonry. There's right. Accepted apprentice.
Apprentice, fellow craft, master mason.
And master mason. So you're saying they only get to 3. So this is a little lodge. It's Romania. We let them do
this.
No,
this is every okay. Grand Lodge on the globe. So California, Texas, New Hampshire, New York. Alaska.
They award the 33rd degrees.
Well, they have that, but they have it in the Scottish Rite and further York Rite systems.
But some places, podunk lodges can only do 3.
No. All lodges can only do 3.
Okay.
The Scottish Rite and York Rite go higher.
Okay.
In separate directions.
And not every Masonic lodge offers the Scottish and York?
Legally, they're not supposed to, but the Scottish Rite has infiltrated. No brother can deny that is listening, that if he's sitting there in his lodge room and blah blah is going on, the usual minutes, what have you, that there's not a Scottish Rite official somewhere in that room going and kind of directing traffic. And they're not supposed to do that. That's Masonically illegal. So you see, they want to persecute brothers all day long for all this ridiculous crap, but then
they can't even brag about their degrees openly. It's supposed to be all secret.
No. They
it's not a showy thing.
They dismiss that policy because they're desperate for recruitment.
Why is that? iPhones, Snapchat, Tinder. Why is recruitment going out the window? Netflix and chilling.
Because their attitudes, the way they're handling things, the way they're scaring everybody, because there was a surge of young blood that they couldn't explain through all the science in the world. From 2000 to 2000...
You're just talking about membership levels. It's just started... People started realizing, like, oh, this place...
Yeah, from 2000 to 2008, 2009, it had this sudden surge of young guys. that they hadn't seen since World War II, and they were just intrigued. Like, what the hell's going on here? Now, meanwhile, a different situation was unfolding for me because I had the family legacy thing going on over here at a lodge around the corner from where I grew up, and all this, and so there was that, and it was this interesting mix of Dallas society life that was interwoven with Dallas Masonic life and the greater Texas and Southern.
So that's where the explosion in membership happened, because they realized, like, oh, look.
Big time.
I realize if I want to get paid in this life, this place has a lot of connections, and if I just play this game, I can win this game.
Well, it's a light and dark side issue, because there's guys that join it that when you ask them why they joined, they honestly can't think of a particular answer, because they were just compelled to, and you can get into a whole deep, weird discussion, I'm sure, about, like, past lives, and did they do this before, perhaps, and, you know, Templars, and yada yada. It's all hypothetical, but there's evidence to suggest perhaps, maybe, just. But then, you have on the other side of the spectrum, guys who are obviously very douchey, social climber types, who will do anything to try and kind of backstab and get ahead, and...
Why do you have to backstab? Why is that a...
Why does anybody... Why it goes on in politics, it goes on in churches...
Can't you just do the work? You show up every time, you read the chapters in the book you were supposed to, you know?
Look at all the abuses of Scientology. Look at how horrible the disgusting Vatican tortured people all throughout the Inquisitions and...
Are you saying the lodge isn't a meritocracy? It's, like, more about bloodlines and stuff?
Oh, of course, behind the scenes, but that's the pink elephant in the room that no one wants to talk about. They don't want to acknowledge that, because that invokes all this other stuff that they don't want to have to be held accountable to explain. They would rather send the usual suspects, Brent and Arturo and the other douches, onto the History Channel, Discovery Channel, and say, oh, we're not a secret society, we're a society with secrets, and oh, come into our lodge room, see, here we are, nothing to see, no, isn't it pretty? And it's all such a horrible acting job. It's just pitiful. They're their own worst enemy when it comes to public relations.
So, did it start getting abusive? Look, I watched a lot of the Scientology trials in that there was a court case on Scientology, you know, and L. Ron Hubbard's brother testified against him, saying, yeah, people would run, they would try to flee after they were a Sea Org member, and, you know, we would go and kidnap them and grab them in a van and bring them back to the concentration camp because they were a bad Scientologist at that moment. They stole one broom, they had a cigarette when they weren't supposed to after hours. You know, whatever it was like the charges were like he wanted to call his fucking son, who said Scientology is a bunch of horse shit. And why don't you, like, get, you know, work on your relationship with your family instead of, like, reading L. Ron Hubbard's science fiction books obsessively every night?
These are all good points, simply because L. Ron Hubbard was a disciple of Aleister Crowley, who was a Mason before he was anything else. Important. Fact. And it's all one and the same thing, and that's I love Leah Remini and what she's doing on A&E with
Yeah, let's talk about Scientology. Now, what you were talking about with the different lodges, and every they only give 3 degrees, but then there's these other degrees in the background.
Well, no, but yeah, you go Scottish Rite or York Rite.
But there's, if you're in Scientology, you can only go to, like, the 6th and 7th.
No,
operating Thetan levels 1 through 7, and you can only get to the higher levels in Clearwater, Florida. So you got to, if you're in New York, sorry. If you're a lawyer who wants to go from level 5 to level 6, sorry, you're gonna have to spend that time in Clearwater, Florida for 6 months, when the God knows what goes on in the building to make that level jump.
Well, then I guess I'm in a rotten Scientology hell with Thetans.
Does it get abusive in the lodges?
Of course it does. Of course it does.
Is that the way to flog the demons into the room?
For some reason, in these environments, these lodges, they are prone, and there's little things brewing right now in California that California would rather not have anyone talk about that are all getting ready to come out. And
What? I saw Justin Bieber.
I am not in a position, because it's a sensitive issue, I am not at this moment authorized to say. What I will say is that no Grand Lodge can think for one moment that they can continue to follow a policy of persecuting brothers who like to gang up on each other in high school locker room type situations to dominate each other because of whatever hormones, whatever fucking excuse you want to give it. Okay, but they do, and it's spiraling out of control at the rate that they are doing it. But meanwhile, you can just go on Google News, type in Freemasonry, and 100 things will come up just in the last 2 years of examples of horrendous things that Masons have been doing, all the way from, you know, insider trading to strip mining the planet to pedophilia to installing cameras in hidden cameras in women's restrooms to hacking this and that and murder and theft and you name it. And why are these guys, why are your protocols and your rules not applying to these guys? And it's all hush and bad station and shame that reporter and all. Why? Because it seems to me that fraternity was written up in a sort of a way, like a constitution, if you will, that is what should be being punished, if you will, not a guy who someone gets jealous of and then they decide, well, to hell with him, so we'll gang up on him and we'll delete the problem.
Mm.
So, yeah. And they hate change. And so if you get caught in with something that suggests that it, as a little clique inside Masonry, wants change, watch out. Watch out, because they will make your life a living.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, someone goes into Freemasonry, and, like, let's say they had a previous discipline, you know, like a previous magical discipline, like a chaos musician.
Some do.
Magician, yeah. Walks in, and then the Masons are like, they're like, no, it's got to be the butt stuff, or whatever it is, and you're like, well, does it have to be tonight though? Let's put this chaos magician on trial and see what he can fucking do. Let him lead it today.
It certainly reaches those levels, but again, they don't want to talk about it. They don't want to acknowledge it. There's a lot of, you know, I'm sure guys in small town masonry that are completely oblivious to what goes on in the larger cities and the meccas of it in the world. There's very powerful forces at play. They admit that. So
it's like what Corey Feldman's coming out and talking about.
I can tell you that the number one problem in Hollywood was and is and always will be pedophilia. That's the biggest problem for children in this industry.
The casting couch even applies to children.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
And Justin Bieber, I was reading an article today that there was a ritual that he wanted to do some real fucked up shit for the music industry, and he said no, and he started crying, and they're writing an article about it, you know, and there's a lot of allegations that it's all in the higher levels of the music industry. If you want to get promoted in certain ways, you have to do certain things for these people. The same story kind of comes out over and over again.
Yes, yeah. It appears that certain stars are having meltdowns and whatever. I don't know.
Look what's going on here in my life. I just moved here. You know what I mean? I have some degrees in screenwriting. You know what I'm saying? Can I, is there a meritocracy outside of that magical system? Can I ascend without it?
It's hard to describe because L.A. is a very complex machine, And it's not everything everywhere. I mean, you have different cliques of people. You have, just in Masonry, there's the whole Armenian side of Freemasonry going on in L.A., you know, and they're tight as hell. So you're not going to, you know, they're going to do their thing, and you have these different factions and subgroups playing around, playing frat.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about
slap and tickle.
Let's talk about your bloodline. We had different times we were going to schedule for tonight. At first it was going to be 8, but then there was going to be a Princess Diana documentary.
Right.
And that name came up in our last interview.
Yeah, that name came up when the person you mentioned went kind of haywire on his thing. Yeah.
Which person I mentioned? I mentioned a lot of people.
Rockefeller. Yeah.
Can we play some more of those clips? So, you know.
Please, John, no.
James Robert Wright, you know, if you fuck with him, you got Rockefellers threatening to murder every motherfucker.
Steve Woods, listen up, buddy. You better back the fuck off.
It's just this bizarre. Shit I don't. It's from another world. I don't know. Oh my God. Eric, stop it. we're going to have to pause and do a dirty, nasty cigarette break because, yeah, there's cretins out there in the world. And I don't know what you tell me. May I ask a question?
Sure.
Just as an outside observer, what sure. do you think of it? I mean, like, what? Holy shit.
It's very terrifying. It's scary.
Yeah, God only knows what everybody else thinks, and I'm the one who's, like, seems to be strung up in it. I didn't know what that was. It came out of nowhere because a friend, Karina, had said some things, and this sort of domino effect ensued where this invitation popped out of nowhere from this person to do this show. And he was connected to other people that was verifiable and vettable, and it was all very bizarre. There's, mm-hmm. there's, you know, anyway, so, and, you know, if they think for one moment that I can be, like, influenced to do their dirty work or something, like, let's, I mean, just to pull a hypothetical out of thin air, like, let's say that they're into some weird white boy gangsta G mafia thug life shit or something. Okay, fine. I don't really care. It's not interesting enough to make me sick. So I don't want to be a part of it. Why do you want to snag me into some weird something that you're up to?
Mm.
So I just am like pshaw with them. Because I've got better things to do. I have real friends with real accomplishments, not names resting on laurels with names, who, you know, have done their time and are experts in their fields, and I gravitate toward truth and knowledge and happy thoughts and chillaxing and trying to find that gray Jedi balance of with the dark side. And
you're saying it's just hard to live your life because of all this residual trauma from what you're tied into.
Yeah, that's, you know, I like to keep a sense of humor about it, like I said. So, it was, yeah.
I mean, I was born in, you know, New Jersey. My mom would, like, cook, like, pasta, and then I would say something she didn't like, and she would, like, hit me with a one spoon, and I'd have, like, fucking pasta sauce all over myself. Not, like, hard, but just, like, what the fuck are you doing kind of thing. And then you go to school with, like, pasta sauce spoon marks all over your shirt, and your friend's like, what happened? And you're like, I don't know, it was early, and my mom didn't want my bullshit that morning. I don't know. So that was the level of abuse I took. There was a paddy whack machine. Me and my friends in Jersey, you know, we would play wall ball. We would throw a tennis ball against the wall, hit it, and if it was your fault that you missed the ball, then you would have to go to the wall, and then they would throw it at the back of your head. And then there's also the paddywhack machine, which is everybody gets up and they spread their legs, and you have to walk, you have to crawl under your legs, under the legs of all your friends standing on you while punching you in the kidneys, you know? That's the level of torture I grew up with. But I think in certain ways it can inspire you to, a little trauma, a little bullying inspires you to excel to great heights, you know?
I suppose, yes.
Does a lot of bullying make you, am I condoning abuse? What am I doing? What's the point of these rituals if they're very abusive, but then do they make like Justin Bieber's, you know what I mean?
They produce results that are absolutely good little soldiers. I was one. But I think what happened was intense levels of it broke the programming, so to speak, and I finally just went, fuck,
broke
fuck
the,
you, fuck you!
Broke the programming.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you're in so deep, you're doing rituals all the time,
Well, even as a kid growing up in that, like, bougie country club environment there in Dallas, I always looked at it with a very black comedy, cynical, Daria type of sense of humor, because it was just always, they took themselves so seriously, and then Freemasonry was no different, and it was like, ugh, this shit. And, I mean, because I know how to put on all that class and everything, and there's a time and a place for it, but there's a time and a place to also just chill and relax and not take yourself so seriously. And it's like they have these endless degrees and they have all these supposed and alleged lessons about, ooh, ego and naughty, and but yet the ones that get in and stay in power are just so steeped in it that they're absolutely corrupt, they're absolutely disgusting, horrible people to be around. So...
yeah,
they'll do dirty, dirty things.
Princess Diana, let's talk about that name. So a friend of yours made it known to you that you could be her son.
This is again a very complex and odd situation that I'm not even tempted to make judgment calls on until certain parties explain things a little bit clearer. But yes, there were some things said that implied an already partially outed story about some embryos that were taken. Now, what happened with them, where they went, there's going to have to be a serious investigation into
blood
what
tests
went down.
So you were
well beyond that, who was involved in. And I think they should be made to be held accountable and at the very least offer some sort of reasonable explanation rather than allow yet another situation to run wildly out of control.
So even though you're an insider, you're capped at certain areas of knowledge. If things are going on...
it's not an all-access. That's why I love these con artist types that come on and they're like, I knew everything about everything. It's like, beware of the Snowdens. I'm sorry, that's just... it was like for years, every news damn article started with latest Snowden leak reveals. Come on, it's so compartmentalized. No way in hell.
So when you say Snowden, you're like, well, maybe... because
it's a catch-all. It's impossible.
Maybe he is the source of leaks that one... that the FBI is trying to leak about the CIA.
Yeah, well, yes, it's again factions warring. Yes.
So that's the when you get to these dark levels of knowledge and the FBI is up to crazy things, the CIA is running cocaine into Mena, Arkansas under Bill Clinton's watch. Kids find out that he shoots them. When you're running drug money to fund black operations and you're into satanic rituals, then that stuff is brought out as a weapon of knowledge to fight the war of justice in this crazy fucking situation that we find ourselves in.
But the problem with wealthy, powerful neighborhoods and lodges therein connected, you're rarely going to get anyone ever. It's like a Stepford Wives situation. It's just not gonna. It's gonna contain itself and stay in the shadows.
It could be untouchable.
Right.
You know, I was very fascinated when I was watching the hearings on Scientology.
Ronald DeWolf.
Are you the natural son of L. Ron Hubbard?
Yes, I am. Now, this was written by my father, L. Ron Hubbard. Scientology is a power and money game. The definition of life in Scientology, what is called its game. Life is a game, same as Monopoly or playing gin rummy. It doesn't have all that much reality to it, which means that you can pretty well do as you please. And one of the my father always felt that he was above the law because he had created the law. He created whatever rules, regulations, and laws that he flew by. There was only one sin in Scientology, which was repeated to me at least a few thousand times, which is getting caught.
Do you think the people who are in Clearwater, who parade up and down the street, do you think that they are a danger to themselves or to the people of Clearwater?
Are they a danger to themselves?
Or to the people of Clearwater?
Both. There's a couple of quotes that my father used to say all the time that really scare me to death. He at one time also was talking about really taking on the world, and I remember 1958, an example, which scared me to death and started myself thinking.
He wanted me to devise a plan to try to steal an H-bomb.
Your father wanted you to steal an H-bomb?
Huh?
Your father wanted you to steal an H-bomb?
Yeah, he wanted me to.
From whom?
Anybody and everybody. We got out.
I never got into it because I said, oh, no, thank you. And sort of things went click in my head, and I said, I have two children. I don't want to get involved in that. And that was in late 1958.
Did he want you to steal the parts or the whole bomb?
You know, he wanted the whole package. As an example, one of the things he said to me was that, he said to me many, many times, he says, don't call it murder, call it suicide. And there's another quote, I connotate loyalty as the highest ethic. That means follow me. That means total dedication, total loyalty to me, L. Ron Hubbard. And that's the one thing that he put before any and all, everything.
Do you think that the organization wants to control our economic system?
Yes.
It's all.
They were given their status. They were given their tax exempt status after a hearing where it was on the record that they were kidnapping people, beating people, you know.
Well, how Mason's had it from the get-go.
How abusive David Miscavige is. All this stuff keeps coming out, but they're given their tax-exempt status anyway. Now, their membership is dwindling. Scientology owns a lot of real estate that they have tax-free because of their religious status.
Ditto with.
So they're more of like a real estate shell game.
Yes.
That has tax-exempt status because of these backroom deals. And even after the hearings come out, they get it, they still have it, they still have members.
But some of them are in deep uh-oh, because
things are coming out, you're saying.
California is in very serious trouble. They've essentially committed suicide as a brain lodge with some of their ill-fated, disgusting moves and actions and decisions and egos out of control up in the Bay.
So you think some lodges are going down soon?
I think
because of these allegations.
I think the entire statewide Grand Lodge system is about to have a rude awakening as to what options brothers have to safeguard themselves from persecution for dubious reasons. In other words, you know, victimization. Why are these abuses going on? They're certainly going on in other in plenty. This is not a gay straight thing. It's going on across the board with everyone and everything. Blacks persecuted. It's crazy what's going on in the southern states.
Mm-hmm.
So it's wildly out of control. And the whole while the rest of the world is looking at this and going, "What the hell is going on in America? What is?" And for multiple reasons, God knows with the Trump thing, but, you know, in the secret society world, they're like, what, for reals, yo? It's bad.
This is what's happening. This is what's happening because of the disclosures. There's more of a wave of disclosures.
Because causality, because there's more of a wave of corruption and sicko crap here. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There are other jurisdictions in this world, like Romania, like France, who are not. They're like, OMG, what is up, y'all? it's that
your
bad.
Banking system is fiat currency. You got these pedophiles in the music industry and Wall Street Washington.
On a very serious note, I think from their perspective, I can say officially that they are. Very disturbed that American Freemason authorities are not following the craft as it is supposed to be followed. In other words, they're like constitutionalists, if you will, of the place. They believe you should operate by a very base liberal set of established standards and let lodges be unique and it takes a blue lodge to make a grand lodge, and grand lodges forget that, and that's the problem going on in America for sure.
You just like money and power, you get led astray when you're above the law. If there's a group of people who the rules don't apply to,
you know,
they see how far they can take it.
I've known so many wealthy, powerful people who were actually good people, though. So it depends on the person. Money can certainly be a contributing factor in some people. It triggers that, but not in everyone.
Do you see in the future at all, like, what do you think about the financial state of America? You know, do you think there's going to be a reset of assets, a global reset, something like this?
A reset
of the finance system?
Los Angeles is, what, the fourth largest economy in the world? So, I mean, it's we may have upsets and upheavals here, but I don't ever think that we would collapse. I mean, because it's like when you have a natural disaster, you know, and everybody, there's an outpouring and we rebuild and life goes on. There is that good side of humanity. Which the Masons would love you to believe that they contribute to, but...
So there's certain, like, you can pick and choose what, if you have all the books, Morals and Dogma, if you have all the books that you're supposed to read as a good Mason. Mm-hmm.
No, I'm a naughty Mason.
Some people are like, well, what about this part? We don't really do this part anymore. You forgot about this old goody I want to bring back up. Do you think that... Yeah, it's just about picking and choosing. And I remember the last time we talked, you were like, no, the Templar stuff is good. I'm a Knights Templar. And I believe I hold myself to that code.
Yes, I still stand firmly by that statement. And that is what is going on behind the scenes. There's some very upset Templars in Europe at American...
They think we're a bunch of uncivilized hicks who are just...
No, I think they think that we're quite cultured. No, it's not that. It's just that we're acting a bit overly bratty and egotistical and some bougie bitches. And it needs to stop. Because, like I said, Los Angeles has a population, the greater LA metro area, that is like 10 million. So California Grand Lodge has a population of 10,000. That's utterly pathetic by the standard.
Mm.
That's pathetic. That's why the damn Guest family had to save the Scottish Rite building on Wilshire Boulevard, because they went out of business, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
They can't fill. Lodges are closing, merging out of desperation to hold membership because you must have 9.
Does that just mean that there's a consolidation of wealth in the people that are sticking around? Or is it just a thing that's dying out?
Well, it's definitely dying out, so the power is dwindling. That's why I'm still around, I think.
I see.
I mean, there was literally a guy, one of my former bosses, plural, who put a hit out on me, and he is now dropped dead mysteriously in his bedroom in Dallas. So that's all over and done with, history. So the situation has improved slightly. But, of course, instances like what you brought up with R&R and all that, that's certainly creepy.
R&R?
Rockefeller and his buddy Rothschild.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And all that theatrical hoo-ha.
Crazy
Ahmed Chandelier Emporium is my new term for it.
Just old guys yelling at each other at a phone at a certain point. It's like, I'm a great Mason. All right, uncle. But you're kind of embarrassing us because you just screamed in a phone for 74 minutes.
Imperial Majesty, Sovereign Grand Inspector General, Emperor Mihail Rockefeller. He said this yesterday to me in a nice note. Quote, I am absolutely loyal to the promotings and orientations of the group.
What are we talking about?
Filthy Mason. This should be a TV show. Dirty Mason Court. Naughty Mason Court.
Let the accused step forward.
Of moral turpitude.
He's not wearing the right shoes. He cannot step onto the carpet of destiny.
I, the proposed accused, have a filthy fucking mouth. And that was my favorite charge that they brought me up on. They, like, invented one, and they said that I, quote, use some of the most foul and vile language imaginable in conversing with officials. And yes, I did. Mm-hmm. I absolutely, positively did.
What officials?
Oh, everyone from my former bosses to the remainder of the Supreme Council. To
like, in the lodge.
Grand Lodge
you didn't
officials.
Use all the right...
Multiple Grand Lodge officials.
The right legal jargon in the
lodge. I still do to this day. I make sure to call them all sorts of, like, cunt and fun things like twat and...
You're keeping it fun in the office, you know?
Well, I believe, on a serious note, I do believe that they need to hear that from someone. And since I'm already pegged the villain in their side of the story, why not go ahead and have a little fun with it? Because they've certainly had their fun with me, so payback's a real bitch.
All right.
Because that's how I roll.
Man. This is interesting. I just want to know, like, you know, do you have to do... I think, is the internet, like, an unintended consequence of the decentralization of knowledge?
What's a type 1 telephone system?
I don't know.
A type 1 civilization, you know, global, in control of the globe and the space around it. It's our first global instant system.
Mm. The speed camera ticket. This is what I want to say. I had a councilman in my car. I go, I'm Uber driving as my job through grad school. I collect like $4,300 of speed cameras. If I paid that thing, I would have zero money from Uber. Like zero. I got to pay my fucking rent. I got to pay for my own food. I got to pay for all this shit. I have to work
late hours. I want to live in a country where the officer is hot and you have the option to sleep with the officer to get out of the ticket. That's the country I want.
Well, you know, he's got to be from the right
lodge. And I may run for office on that.
They have to be at the right lodge. You got to... There's different ways to handle a parking ticket in different county lines. I had a councilman in my car. He's like, look, all they can do is boot your car. I was like, really? He was, like, fucked up. It was Mardi Gras. He was literally dressed like a...
I miss Mardi Gras.
A wizard. He was dressed like a wizard. And he was covered in glitter, and he was a councilman. And he's... I was like, I'm fucked, man. I can't pay this. And he's like, what you should do is get a second license plate. I was like, what do you mean? He's like, if you get yourself a vanity plate, see, the state has a computer system. Louisiana State issues the license plates. But... the speed cameras, that's a city matter. They're on different computer systems, man. So if you just get a vanity plate, you're invisible. You're a ghost. That's what I did. I'm admitting to fraud now. But my car got towed.
Yeah, what we did in Texas, by the way, is you had a native Texan novelty plate and then the Mason decals.
So then you would drive all fucked up with your one.
God, yeah.
With your one plate.
Because 120 with a joint and no one gave a shit.
Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. The cameras are going off. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba.
Yeah.
But then when you park, when I would park, I would take off that license plate and then put on my vanity plate, which was clean as a nun's pussy. I never even drove on that thing. I only parked legally and then I put on the clean-ass plate. That never got any drive time. That's how you avoid the cameras. What I'm saying is you gotta duck and dodge this system, this security state. Is there a consolidation of power with the lack of memberships? Could more poor people in America go to Masonic lodges and through connections learn skills to... it just get them out of parking tickets and get them good lawyers for free?
I say or no, but it's not that far-fetched because they're so damn desperate right now for numbers that they might... because they're recruiting, and according to their own stupid Masonic law that they love to have superfluous trials and shit over. I mean, again, there I am. There's my central point again. Why are they not pursuing that? Because that would be too plain and simple and obvious.
Pursuing what?
The wrongdoings of...
and reform.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
So you think that it's salvageable? It just needs to have a revolution?
It's going to take radical measures, and that's getting ready to start unfolding. Other jurisdictions are interested in expediting the process of radical overhaul. That's what I can say right now at this moment. Yes, so there is hope, but it's going to be messy, and bring it on, because it is for good. And, you know, to brothers listening, especially here in California, it is no small secret that you're all variously, in one way or another, as a lodge as a whole, having some sort of problem on some sort of level with your Grand Lodge at the moment. And there are reasons why you are, and they should be painfully obvious to you if you pull your heads out of your collective asses, please, brothers. So there is light at the end of this tunnel, and you have resources. Lots of resources to, and that goes actually for any one in the world suffering from an abuse of Freemasonry. There are others to turn to in this world who are good guys, who subscribe more to the Templar side of things like I do, because it's the Scottish Rite side of things that has corrupted. That's your Sith. That's where they're located. So. And I used to work for the sicko fucko assholes. And they're nothing but that. They're just disturbing people. You know, it's like, I'm married with adult children, but I sleep with the youngest of guys possible at my lodges, plural, that I belong to. And it's just like... God. And then they're all supposed to sit at these black tie fucking functions together and act like, you know, everything's just perfectly fine. happy snappy in the suburbs.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if I can tell this story, but I had, I was Uber driving, and I guess Daryl Hammond lives part of the time in New Orleans.
Okay? Really?
So I was Uber driving, and Daryl Hammond gets in my car. I'm a huge fan of his.
Oh, that is so cool.
From Saturday Night Live.
Best years, yeah.
I also would, my dad would take me into the Comedy Cellar. And I saw him perform a bunch of times growing up, because I grew up in Jersey.
There's no better Bill Clinton than his.
Yeah. Just a tremendous... but his stand-up, too, in The Cellar. The Cellar was crazy back in, like, 2003. I don't know if you've ever been to the Comic Cellar in New York City, but it's some of the greatest comics you'll ever see. And growing up, you know, going there. So I had him in my car, and I was like, holy fuck. And we got to talking, because I'm doing stand-up all the time, too, in New Orleans. And he was like, oh, I almost had a Broadway run. I was like, yeah. And he goes, yeah, but I was, it didn't happen. I was like, what do you mean? He's like, well, the mafia came after me. There's a Broadway mafia. I was like, what do you mean? And he's like, well, they said they get $1 million up front and everything's going to be okay.
Well, I've heard some stories that shall remain completely vague and unidentifiable.
I know, I'm trying to, you know.
SAG in town is very, can be very mafia-like.
SAG, the Screen Actors Guild.
Yes, as I hear rumors.
Well, do they shake down productions for compensation for their actors? For their pensions and their health care? Is that a good thing, though? So they get fair wages?
I can't. Or? I don't. I see, I'm not a SAG member, so I don't know.
Right, right.
But from things I hear, I think there is a level of manipulation of funding that they maybe, like, this goes to this, but then it goes to another thing, and some things like that, or some preferential treatment and false casting notices, you know, like pre-cast roles on the hush-hush and kind of action going on, but they're required by their laws that, oh, but we must audition X amount of people. And just, you know, kind of like that myth that you can move to L.A. and sit at a coffee shop for a couple weeks and get discovered, and no, it does not work that way. That's only in the movies that it works that way, and no. So, you got to do serious time here, and because you first arrive here, and it's kind of like, and people are like, ooh, who are you? And it takes time to make friends and so forth.
Interesting.
I love LA. It's such a wonderful city compared to what I came from.
Okay, so you're just talking about the Templars before, and how that's the antidote to solve Mason's problems. If the Templars took over
in this situation to begin with, the Templars are daddy, because that's the parent company. Mm. If you want to look at it from a business point of view, so yeah, that is the solution.
Is that a subversion of power in of itself, or is that reform of the more grotesque behavior getting removed from the lodge?
Yes, it would be the beginnings of reformation to sanitize these sort of captured chairs on high, officials, chairs, positions, that keep
the right,
like, musical chairs. They keep going around the same people, and round they go, same title, and it just revolves. And no one new ever comes in, and it's this little control grid of these old, wrinkled, crinkled, sour douche lords. I mean, they're just...
I have titles!
Yes, absolutely they do, because they're... Oh, they got that. Is one of the things about them that's so obnoxious is they've got a million titles with all the fucking, because you become like 32nd degree and beyond, because there's all these by invitation only millions of things to get involved in. It all might have like one, two, three, four degrees apiece. And so you can just keep accumulating these things again and again and again and again and have walls of fucking diplomas, and it never ends.
This
it's
is
an ultimate carrot situation.
Yeah,
it's
right.
That's why I wrote it as a pyramid scheme.
I would just most love to focus just on stand-up. You know, I don't want to spend time in a lodge when I could be actually like doing stand-up. I don't want to spend time in a lodge when I could actually be screenwriting.
Yeah.
Like that, like how much time is this going to take away from me? You know, I've had needy girlfriends. I know how time can just get sucked out away from you. You know what I mean? Then you start to try to Uber drive and they call you 15 times. You know what I mean? And then your fucking Uber, your cell phone turns into your girlfriend's name and you're like, oh, fuck. And then you got to go, okay, sweetie, I'm working. I'll talk to you later. Click. And then, like, you're trying to drive, and then the map turns off again, and, like, your needy girlfriend's name comes up on your screen again, and you miss your turn. You know what I mean? does the lodge become a time vacuum or a time vampire, does it turn you into a magical vampire? And what kind of crazy shit, what kind of entities?
It will do A, absolutely, and B, if you let it.
If you do Templar shit, that's the best shit, and you're gonna be magic and get a lot of money in this world.
I don't know that you can classify it that way.
If you follow their program, your life will work out.
It's
not
that.
A meritocracy anymore, so you might as well just join.
Well, there's bloodlines involved.
Club nepotism. I don't have the bloodline.
Are you sure?
I don't know. I gotta go to a lab and have my blood tested,
okay.
and then join a lodge and be like,
all right, let me do a little magic here on you.
Oh, sure.
Voodoo shit. Okay. So the mere fact alone that you are interested in all this to begin with signifies that you are statistically likely to be a Euro bloodline that is of Templar involvement. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That you care at all. Because there are some people on this planet who just flat out do not care, and they've done the science. It's hard science that's vetable and Googleable, etc. That these bloodlines are directly associated with that.
If I send my blood to some lab that has perfect knowledge of my ancestry, do they tell you your past lives?
No.
Does it get into that? Are they like, this is your bloodline?
A lot of people go do past life regression therapy, which I understand is a very real thing that I've not done, personally, because, I don't know, I've already got a lot of information in my head, and that would take up even more space, and I don't... Maybe at a later date.
It's tough to be a test tube baby who was born into a weird, abusive, yet very financially lucrative religion /...
Fam.
It's all too much, man. This is a crazy world. This is a crazy book. The Dulcie Wars by Branton. I'm so obsessed with it. I wrote a good screenplay about it. I also wrote a great screenplay about the NSA. And, this do-gooder kid had like great grades all through school, kind of like a Good Will Hunting scenario. He gets into Yale. He goes to the Skull and Bones because he wants to change everything from within. And then he realizes that the entire purpose of the NSA is dick pic blackmail, because all the senators are completely out of their minds sexual deviants. And they all send a lot of dick pics, like 40 and 50 a month. They have all kinds of hookers that are at their beck and call all the time. Some are midget transvestites.
Well,
this is my great screenplay.
My enemies should know by now, in their constant studying of my behavior, that if they were to ever try to threaten me with some crap like that, but I would just go ahead and, like, tweet my dick pic myself, because I'm not going to be held hostage by their antics.
If you have no shame, then you can't be, nobody can get you. They can't...
Right. So, I just...
You have to live an honest life.
Why let them have the upper hand, you know? So don't put yourself in an awkward, compromised situation. God knows I've been in rooms where they were going on, you know, but I sure did a tell-all on that. So, they didn't like it, but, you know, one drops dead and the others certainly are not. Because the day after the first book was published, the entire staff of the Dallas Scottish Rite resigned, except for one person, who was the one who dropped dead. So... interesting. There's dodgy things is what I'm getting at.
You going wrote on. The book. What part of it do you think was so controversial? I'm not an insider, you know what I mean? I don't know.
I still ask myself that question simply because they still come at me well, less and less these days, but the point is they still do. With this worn-out, tired-ass argument that I revealed all these Masonic secrets in the book. Okay, well, maybe bits and pieces, yes, but the whole main focus of it was how what went on in the office and why, from an administrative-level viewpoint, I found it all to be a load of horseshit at the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry. And why they should be just at any Grand Lodge that's all in bed with Satan with them is also gotta because.
So you're saying that there was like an Illuminati dark force takeover of
it's very
the
Star
system.
Warsian. It's light and dark.
The dark side took over, and you're saying the light side should take back over.
In America, it did.
And it would be a much better place. We had Camelot. We had a chance with the Kennedys. But they got whacked.
Europe, they used to be, the dark side used to be in Europe. They kicked them out in very famous public cases. And so where'd they all come? America. And parts of Canada. And South America. Yeah.
Who have the right to enter due to their position.
Their uber
so if you get kicked out of one lodge.
Super soldier, Nazi, bloodline, CIA test tube manipulation tactics, yes.
I was MK Ultra. I was molested by the fingers of the most famous people you would ever know. Personally, I have all these degrees. I hold over this court. He's not wearing the right shoes on the carpet of destiny. He revealed my secrets, my alcoholism, my bloated wife, and my failed penis. Now, I will not stand for this. Am I going to get murdered for this podcast?
No. No, because they're just, especially here on the West Coast, they're so damn outnumbered now, it's not even funny.
Outnumbered.
I am very good friends with activist organizations all across SoCal, and I do lots of work with them, and we're a tightly knit community, and I can always summon up bigger numbers here than they can, so they better not cross me here any more than they, you know, they did in the beginning when I arrived here, didn't know anything about LA, but yeah. It's not the case now. I still have hardships, but and creepy stuff, but it's certainly...
You have enough friends and you feel safe.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah, what's going to happen with this world? I don't know. You know, Trump's president, I'm worried about these the deregulation. I'm worried about Roundup pesticides. And I'm worried about the food. I'm worried about the food. You know?
GMOs, yes, these are all the organizations that I am friendly with. Because I find the best way to get revenge on the Scottish Rite is to attack everything that they own stock in. Mm. And I've WikiLeaked those documents.
Mm. So you're saying
not
that...
I mean figuratively, not to WikiLeaks. Yeah. I'm just blurting them out all over the world. But, yeah, they own stock in all the usual suspects.
Seems like...
Blackstone's from Klein to BP to... Yeah, the defense contractors, you name it, it's all in there. Mm. Something's going on. It was god awful hot here for a couple weeks. Having to run the AC at night, that's unheard of in LA.
Well, I like, you know what I heard about that this fact that's blowing my mind? Your brain can't heal if it's hot. So, like,
yeah, your brain can boil over with too high of a...
It can boil, and your brain only heals when you can sleep and your head is cold. Mm-hmm. So I wonder, that makes me more of a Yankee, because I grew up in the Northeast, and I think that Northeast people are sometimes smarter than Southern people, you know? But I heard this thing about, but AC changes that, the game. If you can sleep and your head is cold... it can repair itself and be smarter.
That's probably why it feels so good to flip the pillow to where it's cool and like, ah.
Mm. It cools your brain down. It shrinks. It can heal itself in that state. Yeah, if you sleep and you're constantly hot.
I want that chillo from as seen on TV.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Why can't you just put your pillow in the freezer?
Well, eventually it would wear off. The chillo is supposed to stay cool.
It's got an internal gel system.
Technology.
It can even be bitten by a shark.
It's probably uploading your sleeping, your REM status to Skynet.
It's weird that there's, like, with all technology with duality, you know, as, you know, maybe we've ruined the planet to a certain extent to get our consciousness to a certain level of teaching ourselves what... Like, maybe we had to make a lot of books, and you gotta chop down some fucking trees to make books, right? And then people get smarter when they read books. Oh, this is an engineering book, this is a...
Oh, yeah, because Welcome Back to L.A. and Welcome Back to the Fukushima jet stream. So, that's another thing to consider.
Sure, we're ruining the planet. Yeah, all the radiated salmon are gonna be... And I like sushi, too, so I might get some cesium. I'm very worried about this planet. Is it too late to turn things around with our financial system, with our environment? Like, is there hope, or are we just going to...
There is hope, but it's time's getting... It's tick-tock, tempest fugit. And I've heard the highest paid and revered authorities of stupid Freemasonry all say, like, it's scripted on a teleprompter, that the answer... is to just ignore the problem and give it time, quote unquote, as if doing nothing and acknowledging nothing, and it will all just fix itself. And from within and everything related to it and all the problems and everything, the totality of it. So, and no, that's completely absurd and unreasonable.
You know, They have buildings that have, like, solar panels in them, solar panels in general, but you have to burn a lot of resources to make a solar panel, you know what I mean? It takes a level of manufacturing, which creates pollution. Cutting down books, we're getting smarter, we're cutting down things, we have internet now, we're connected. It's a rat race between raising our own consciousness to save ourselves.
Yeah.
From chopping down all the trees to make those books.
And the suspense, this would make a good film. The suspense of what, because we don't know yet what the effects of all this latest, greatest tech crap mm-hmm. is. You know, I carry two phones, an iPad, and
laptop.
Yeah, the laptop.
Are you worried about boiling your balls on a laptop Wi-Fi?
I don't rest my laptop on my nuts, no. Because I believe that could happen, yes.
That's why I like sometimes I like the cell phone in the other room. Especially just for an interview, though.
I just like to set it on the desk like a normal person. I have the iPad that you can tilt. That's fun for bed, but, you know, not again on your lap. No, bad idea. Bad idea.
All right. Well, we've actually done 90 minutes. I said 2 hours before, but I misread our thing. So I think we're just about wrapping up. Any words of wisdom? What's the Templar lifestyle, and what are like the most basic edicts that people can understand?
Well, I think the best way to understand the history of it is, you know, they had the sort of motto of like poverty, humbleness, and purity, and that's kind of far reaching because plenty of them obviously married, had kids, or didn't marry and had kids, and or were gay if they chose, or whatever. They were actually very liberal. They were the liberal political party of their time, and they invented a lot of great things that made them uber wealthy, like the credit banking system and all kinds of stuff. So they protected the Vatican. The Vatican and the King of France owed them more money than they could ever possibly have to pay them. It was ridiculously powerful, but all for the purpose of all that is good in Christendom. So, and we can't say that based on the Vatican's behavior that they are doing what is best for Christendom. We just can't. It's illogical.
Do you think that the Vatican is run by the Scottish Rite?
There is a correlation, Knights of Malta.
The Knights of Malta are the top.
Italian.
Okay.
But,
They have dark practices, they're in oil money, they're not reforming.
I love these things that get so complex when they're actually so simple to answer. If it was a good organization, like Scientology, like American Freemasonry, why isn't it on its best expenditures of time, money, and resources to solve actual problems? Why is it running around chasing phantoms? It makes up itself and selects victims to enact this on, to create distractions so that they don't have to be held accountable for the endless shit that goes on. And this is the flaw in the system. That's what has to be stopped. On any of these things.
The people shouldn't get away with it just because of their position.
Right, enough is enough.
Absolute power corrupts.
They need to say, stop. You know, and there was a time, never mind Freemasonry for a moment, because let's remember that was invented later because the Templars were persecuted by the Vatican and France, because they owed him too much money, blah, blah. And
the Templars were always the rebels the whole time, the whole story, if you look back.
Yes. They're the liberals, the progressives, I should say. So.
In politics, out of politics, in life. Interesting.
I would think that Templars would be like Bernie supporters, probably.
Mm-hmm.
At heart, at the time, given the circumstances, so to speak.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Most. Not everybody's the same. I mean, there's all denominations in a room, but...
Spread wealth around. If we rise as a society, we all should rise as a society. Old school. Not getting your car vampirized by speed cameras.
Well, and history books are constantly rewritten. We're witnessing it in our own lifetime so far.
Do you think, after we raise the kids, a whole generation of kids on endless internet porn, which, you know, is it breaking their brains? Is it not making them not put up with as much bullshit? What's happening?
I don't know, because I grew up where we had all the right toys, so even though I'm 35, as kids we had, you know, satellite and dial-up primitive internet and things like that, and CD players and laser discs.
Now it's accelerating. Now, like, kids, you know, they're sending each other pictures of their genitals at 15.
Well, I mean, I 14 just thought it is we had things like Doom and Beavis and Butthead that everybody said was going to corrupt us. And And then we had primitive dial-up internet where you could get porn images. They didn't have the bandwidth for videos yet, but there were images.
Or they would take like 2 days to load on your mom's computer, and that's embarrassing.
And there were dirty chat rooms on AOL, yeah. It always existed. So, I don't know. Isn't that human nature?
I do remember me and my friends would go on chat rooms sometimes and pretend to be like, just like troll gay dudes, like, you know, oh, you want to do what? You know what I mean? Just like go in these crazy chat rooms.
They had these actual
or just like pretend to be a lesbian or pretend to be a trans midget just for fun. Like, I would just troll constantly.
They had these things that they would pass around to be little hoodlums that were like Autobot little add ons that would mass IM people and it wouldn't stop and, you know, things like that, or just sign them off at their session. At the phone line, yeah, it was hilarious. Good time.
Growing up with primitive internet technology when a deep state has a real ship on their submarines. They got satellite internet on a submarine, but some people are balling in this world.
I want damn satellite phone and limo with diplomatic plates. They owe me that.
You can run over children in the street with diplomatic plates.
With sirens and lights, yes.
Move the children! I have degrees, honk honk. I don't care, it's Mardi Gras. Move these peasants! No, but move the peasants with the bullets!
With Templar flags on the
hood. With the bullets, though. Man.
In an armored Alfa Romeo.
Get me popcorn from him. I like his face, that vendor. Kill the others. I have degrees. I don't care. Move the float. I'm sending you to Mason Court.
Free Mason would find a 1970s Cadillac DeVille horn on eBay and have that installed in the car.
Old school. Liberal.
Yes.
Be a Templar. Yeah. I don't know. We're just trying to save the world here. This has been another episode of Highway Diary. I've been Eric Hollebach. This is James Robert Wright joining us again, trying to clean up Freemasonry from within. You got to learn about this stuff when you move to Hollywood, kids.
We will see. Who knows? Stay tuned.
My first interview in Los Angeles. I've been in Los Angeles 5 days.
What's an honor.
And there you go. Highway Diary is getting kickstarted.
That is awesome.
You know what I mean? All right. Later.